WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump said he's cutting U.S. funding to Colombia because that country's president is, quote, an illegal drug dealer. Over the weekend, Colombian President Gustavo Petro accused the U.S. government of killing a Colombian fisherman in one of the six strikes on boats in Caribbean waters that have killed at least 29 people. Vice President J.D. Vance celebrated those strikes at an event marking the 250th anniversary of the Marine Corps, along with Secretary Pete Hegseth.
And battle after battle, the United States Marine Corps has broken the backs of empires. You've toppled tyrants. You've hanged pirates and hunted down America's foes across the seven seas. And Pete, turns out we're hunting some pirates today, aren't we?
Organizers of the No Kings protests and nearly 7 million people took part in Saturday's demonstrations. There's a major test of the Gaza ceasefire. Israel struck Hamas after what it said was a Hamas attack on Israeli soldiers. Hamas denies taking part. This is ABC News.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. As the climate shifts, so does the science behind growing cranberries. Reporter Melissa Kay has more.
Staff at the Wisconsin Cranberry Research Station are working to ensure the future of the state's signature fruit by studying how cranberries can tolerate extreme temperatures and finding ways to extend the harvest season to reduce labor and equipment demands.
The inability to change in a changing environment is the textbook definition of extinction.
That's Grant Hawley, the executive director of the nonprofit Wisconsin Cranberry Growers Association. He said Wisconsin growers know what to do when change happens slowly.
When you're looking at fast changes, you need to know the whys. And that's where our researchers come into play.
They're able to look at changes happening at a molecular level and see how the cranberries are being affected and also the symbiotic relationship the plants have with other organisms in the ground.
They're seeing how that bacteria inside of the soil is helping with nitrogen uptake. They're making sure that the fungus in the ground is helping us with water uptake.
Gabby Myers is the Research and Education Manager for the Wisconsin Cranberry Research and Education Foundation. She coordinates efforts from researchers across the state.
They're trying to create better cranberries, so maybe they're sweeter, firmer. So all different sorts of traits that they're trying to breed for, we provide a space for them to have those plots established.
Hybrid cranberry varieties are helping farmers diversify their marshes, producing more fruit on less land, and spreading out the harvest season.
They're trying to be able to make it to where harvest doesn't all happen in the same 2 weeks, because that's where you need extra equipment, you need extra people. It's just a terrible time if you have to do that.
Harvest season now starts as early as September and can run through October or later, depending on the year.
Reporter Melissa Kay. For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
A late night for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports here in Phoenix, where the Packers play the Arizona Cardinals at State Farm Stadium. A late arrival, though, last night for Green Bay. The team plane had mechanical problems and was not cleared to fly, so the Packers waited over 5 hours before another plane could arrive from Detroit and take them from Austin Straubel Airport in Green Bay to Phoenix. They didn't take off until 7 o'clock last night, and it's nearly a four-hour flight. I'll have a recap of today's game coming up later tonight. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers losing to number one ranked Ohio State 34-0. Luke Fickell.
To not find a way to put points on the board will never give us a chance. So we know we have to find a way to be able to do that, and we got to get a hell of a lot better at it.
That's the Badgers head coach, Luke Fickell. Wisconsin on the road next week against number eighth ranked Oregon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. It'll certainly feel like fall today with a mix of sun and clouds, breezy and chilly with highs in the low to mid 50s. For tonight, mostly clear and cold with lows near 30. On Monday, a few isolated showers in the afternoon, otherwise partly sunny with highs in the upper 50s. Currently, it's 39.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2033. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Matt Nair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
I'm joined by my special guest, Tom Paulsiewicz. We dive into Donald Trump's plan to dispatch the IRS against his enemies and Magic Mike's refusal to seat the newest elected congresswoman. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The music of the stars. Heard this theme song from the Harry Lubin Symphony Orchestra from One Step Beyond in Television, 1958. The music of the stars. We're on the air via the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm your host, Lou Regani. Next week, more of the same stuff on this holiday that we adults stole from the kiddies to their eternal anger. Well, I don't think they said that, but look how few kids are coming to your door anymore. See, Halloween is old people's stuff now. Or so they seem to think. Wasn't always that way. Let's see, when you think of Halloween, you think of Betty Grable? Nah.
Ladies and gentlemen. Do you realize how this holiday came about? When it all started? Why it exists? Well, we're about to tell you. It ain't no fairy tale, but it's grim.
Once upon a time in the long, long ago, man's courage was high, but his spirit was low.
People grew tired of all work and no play. They felt the need of a jolly holiday.
Then along came Christmas, along came Easter, along came 4th of July.
Then along came a man by the name of Berlin, who took every holiday that ever has been.
He wrote about Christmas.
He wrote about Easter.
He wrote about the 4th of July.
His mind was fertile and his pen was keen.
But he never wrote a word about Halloween.
Halloween, Halloween. Hop, jack-o'-lantern, it's Halloween. Apples hang and high. There's a big pumpkin pie in the sky. Children sing, children waltz.
Who gives a darn if your face is false?
Jump on your broom like a witch. Go and toss all your gloom in the ditch. Go out on the street for a trick or a treat.
You're a cinch to strike it rich.
Halloween, Halloween, all other holidays fall between. The night of All Hallows, so light up the tallow and make it a bright Halloween.
Owls and bats, howls from cats, may scare the buttons right off your spats. We'll now go dramatic with ghosts from the attic and make it a bright Halloween.
I'm a goblin.
I'm a very wicked ghost.
But conditions are the worst we've ever seen.
When we look at all the headlines that they print from coast to coast,
we're afraid to leave the house this Halloween.
When the kids came home from school on roller skates or wagons,
it was sport to follow them and make a noise like dragons.
Now the kids in rocket ships go roaring through the clouds. Oh, I tell you, we are shaking in our shrouds.
I'm a demon.
I'm a werewolf.
I'm a snapping, snarling spook.
And it used to be a pleasure to be mean.
But if children love that groaning from a box they call the juke,
we won't leave our haunted house this Halloween.
No use running away from me. You can't escape me now.
I know it. I keep telling myself, I'm free as a wandering breeze. I'm free to wander any place I please. And yet, I can't escape from you. I'm free as the birds in the trees. I'm even free to sail the seven seas. And yet, I can't escape from you. I could ride away and hide away where we were miles apart. But when I got there, I'd find you there, right in my heart. And so you see that I'm really not free. I'm so afraid you might escape from me. And yet, I can't escape from you. I could ride away and hide away where we were miles apart. But when I got there, I'd find you there, right in my heart. And so you see that not free. I'm so afraid you might escape from me, and yet I can't escape, oh no.
Rosie Clooney on the music of the star.
Once you get to know me, I'm not so good in a crowd, but when I get you alone, you'd be surprised.
He isn't much at a dance, but then when he takes you home,
you'd be surprised.
He doesn't look like much of a lover,
but don't judge a book by its cover.
He has the face of an angel, but there's a devil in his eye. He's such a delicate thing,
but when I start him to squeeze, you'd be surprised.
He doesn't look very strong, but when you sit on his knees,
you'd be surprised. At a party or at a ball, I've got to admit I'm nothing at all.
But in a Morris chair, you'd be surprised. He's not so good in a house, but on a bench in the park, you'd be surprised.
I'm not so much in the light, but when I get in the dark, you'd be surprised.
On a streetcar or in a train,
you'd think I was born without any brain.
But in a taxi cab,
you'd be surprised.
Rosie Clooney with Boris Karloff. Music by Frank Duvall for What Happened to Baby Jane. 1962.
Sorry. Nothing until matinee tomorrow.
Lady, would you mind taking off your hat?
Excuse me.
Thank you very much. Thank you. One final request, all right?
I've written a letter to Daddy.
All right. Thank you. I've written a letter to Daddy. What do we have here?
All for you.
Janie, isn't that a beautiful doll? Thank you, young man. That's a gorgeous doll. Folks, have you ever seen such a lovely doll? All right, children, thank you. Thank you. Now, folks, please, don't forget, there's a genuine Baby Jane doll waiting for each and every one of you right out in the foyer. All you have to do is to go out there and collect her. And kids, remember...
Well, of course.
Oh, I wish Daddy could be here right now. You can never lose your talent, he used to tell me. You can lose everything else, but you can't lose your talent. I think you'll find these clippings very interesting. Daddy saved them for me from the very first. He used to put them in special books. I always liked that picture. It's so sad. Excuse me.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Music of the Stars. Frank Duvall, 1962. Whatever Happened to Baby Jane? There are no ghosts in this movie. Or are there? By the way, a little gal who played Baby Jane Hudson is still with us. Julie Allred, her name. Music of the Star. Here's Betty herself.
I've written a letter to Daddy. His address is heaven above. I've written, dear Daddy, we miss you and wish you were with us to love. Instead of a stamp I put kisses, the postman said that's best to do. I've written a letter to Daddy. His address is heaven above. I've written, dear Daddy, we miss you and wish you were with us to love. Instead of a stamp I put kisses, the postman said that's best to do. I've written a letter to Daddy saying I love you.
The door earlier?
Elvira.
Where is she now? In the kitchen?
No, I gave her the day off. She has a pretty hard time considering. I told her to come back next week. Oh, Blanche. You know we got rats in the cellar?
Thank you.
from Warner Brothers in 1962, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, the cult classic that reignited the careers of Bette Davis and Joan Crawford and added kerosene to their lifelong feud. Crawford and Davis play sisters living in a Hollywood mansion that has seen better days, as have their careers. Both women were once stars, but now Blanche, played by Crawford, is in a wheelchair, while Jane, former child actress, played by Davis, torments her. This was not a normal production. There have been books written about the drama behind the scenes. It's Hollywood legend, much of it true. I probably don't have to tell you that there was a series last year on FX about the making of the film and the Crawford-Davis battles called Feud, with Jessica Lange as Crawford, Susan Sarandon as Davis. It was excellent and well worth tracking down for any fan of the movie, of Crawford, or of Davis, which I think covers just about every single TCM fan. Costume designer Norma Koch's challenge during the production was to outfit Davis's character to match the garish, frightening makeup that Davis applied herself. Crawford's outfits are much more sedate, befitting her character. When Koch won the Oscar, she got to the stage and thanked all the Baby Janes out there. From 1962, also with Victor Buono, and Davis's daughter, B.D., as a next-door neighbor. Here's Robert Aldrich's Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
And the winner is... Norma Koch for Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Deepest appreciation to Robert Aldrich and all the Baby Janes, wherever you are.
The nominees for costume design of a
Look
kind of
at me.
Are...
Wish that we could always be so young and gay.
today.
Look ahead, can't you see how our future's gonna be? When I'm not young and you're not gay, to me you'll always seem that way. Someday your figure will start to spread,
your fallen arches will drop like lead.
You'll find your beautiful smile has fled,
no hair atop of your shiny head.
Don't let the wrinkles upset you, I'll still be happy I met you.
Darn it, baby, that's love. Someday you're gonna lose your physique.
We'll have the doctor in twice a week.
My chic will suddenly go antique.
You'll be so deaf that I'll have to shriek.
Though you're a physical wreck, dear, I'll still be happy to neck dear. Darn it, baby, that's love.
That's love, that's love. We might as well be sensible.
That's love, that's love. To me, you're indispensable.
Despite the fact that someday your memory's gonna fail,
you'll be exhausted when you inhale.
You'll need bifocals to read
really?
The mail.
I'll find your jokes are a wee bit stale.
Though you may look like December, it's May I'm gonna remember.
You will always be my turtle dove.
Well, it's me for you
and you for me,
collecting social security.
Are you one of the frightened? Do you have trouble sleeping at night? Do you find yourself tossing restlessly in bed? I wonder why. Perhaps you saw something during the waking day that troubled you. What was it? That strange man on the bus, or the curious manner of that woman in the drugstore? Or maybe your story is like the bizarre incident in the life of John Le Grue. John Le Grue was a bachelor, but not by choice. For 12 long years since the war, he'd supported his ailing mother and denied his own happiness. You see, his anemic salary at the watch factory had not permitted any thoughts of increasing the Le Grue household. But John had had something out of life. In 1944 in France, during the war, he had met Denise Francon, a wonderful little French girl who had been the only love of John's shallow life. But a bombardment of her little village and the silence that followed had left John with only one conclusion. Denise was dead. Well, the war ended and he had returned to America and his mother and the watch factory. And the dull years had ticked away with the clocks. But one day, everything changed. John came home after a day at the factory and his mother said that a girl named Denise had called and wanted to talk to him. John couldn't believe his ears. There must be some mistake. Denise was dead. She had to be. But no. During dinner, the telephone in the hallway rang again. John rushed to answer it. It was impossible. It was unbelievable. But the sweet voice on the other end of the line was the same broken English of Denise Francon. And a dozen questions spilled from his heart. Where was she? How had she been? Why had she waited all these years to get in touch with him? Did she still love him? But oddly, Denise couldn't say much. Her voice seemed faint and shaky. But she gave out a telephone number. Butterfield 8777, and insisted that John should call her at that number at midnight. All the rest of the evening, John was in a fever of impatience. The tiny clock in the bureau mocked him as the hour minute hands slowly crawled round to the appointed hour. Finally, it was midnight, and John lifted the phone from the hook and dialed the number. A male voice asked who was calling. Surprised, John wanted to know if he had the right number. Yes, it was Butterfield 87777. Whom did he want to speak to? John asked for Denise Francois. The voice seemed puzzled. I'm sorry, I don't seem to recognize the name. John's voice trembled. I'm sorry, he said, but this number was given to me to call at midnight and... The man's voice interrupted him, saying, "Oh, of course, I beg your pardon. Denise Francois? Yes, certainly, I remember now. The body was delivered for embalming yesterday morning. Looks like an automobile accident, and yet, well, in the midst of life, we are in death." Don LeGrew hung up and sat in his chair, staring at the wall for a long, long time. And to this day, he still sits staring at a wall and hears a voice, a soft, sweet, trembling voice asking him to call and call and call. Well, I leave you. This is Woodlawn. What? Oh, I thought you knew. The Woodlawn Cemetery is my destination. You see, I live here. Goodbye for a while, and do call me when you get a chance.
I hardly know what to tell you about the next half hour, except that it has been reported as true by those to whom it happened. It has been investigated, and no one, as yet, has been able to explain it or disprove it. Lovely Tudor house in the English countryside will tomorrow be the scene of a wedding. The bride will come down those stairs, and she will join the bridegroom here by this fireplace. It should be a joyous occasion, and yet the bright June sunshine cannot quite burn away the shadow cast by a recent death. The death of one who tomorrow would have smiled warmly on the wedding couple in his role of best man. Due to the shock and pain of this sudden loss, the church has considerately permitted the ceremony to be held here, instead of the chapel 2 miles away. But if the church, or Scotland Yard, knew all that is to be known about the bridegroom, there would be no wedding. It all began with two old friends on a last bachelor holiday. A holiday in one of the most breathtakingly beautiful spots on Earth, the spectacular Swiss Alps.
Why must you always keep me in suspense? Or can't you see what it does to me? Just a moment, I think you are mine. That's the moment I get the well-known sign. Out of line, you always keep me on the fence. You build me up and then you let me down again. Sometimes I say I'll go away, but what's the sense? I'd just come back so you can keep me in
suspense. Shivers, he quivers.
You're on our side, aren't you? You'd better be. But don't worry. Instead of the arch criminals haunting us, we're going to haunt them. We're going to scare the daylights out of them.
Yes.
Welcome, then, friend. Welcome to the mysterious circle of the inner sanctum. And listen to as weird and strange a tale as ever was told. The amazing death of Mrs. Putnam.
Each night you'll always be with me.
within the inner sanctum of my memory. Once again you say the things you used to say. It seems we've never been apart. And once again I thrill and feel that burning chill when through my lips you drank my heart. No matter where you go, there's one thing that I know. Each night you'll always be with me. Within the inner sanctum of my memory.
That's Charlie Spivak in the orchestra. Obviously, an effort to capitalize on the CBS Theater Inner Sanctum Mysteries. A lot of great stuff on radio then. And Agnes Moorhead of Soldiers Grove, Wisconsin.
Oh, well, never mind then. I don't want to tell you that your bedroom's supposed to be haunted. I don't suppose that'll worry you. Breakfast at 9, if you're alive to eat any. Good night.
Oh, I see. Look now.
Which made it into a motion picture.
My mother told me to keep away.
Sorry, wrong number.
I sang, hello, my good fellow, hello. Oh,
written by Lucille Fletcher, who married Bernie Herman, by the way, who wrote the theme song for Suspense. Stuff all ties together.
Look behind you. Look behind you.
No, 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 no,
squeak and the windows creak and the ceilings leak cause the roof's antique and you hear a shriek and your legs feel weak. It's a haunted house. There's a dismal moan like a weird trombone and an old ham bone is suddenly thrown. You are all alone with a great unknown in the haunted house. There's only one good spirit, it's the spirit in the bottle. With shaking hands you pull the cork and pour some down your throttle. There's a clank of chains and a smell of drains and a gory stain where the duke was slain. If you've got chilblains and varicose pain in the haunted house. From the old oak beam hangs a corpse you seem to feel a wet stream with a sinister gleam. And you wake with a scream from a horrible dream of the haunted house. But a cavalier with a dreadful leer tries to disappear through the chiffonier and you cling with fear to the chandelier. It's the haunted house. The air is full of clammy claws that clutch you by the collar. So gargle night and morning just in case you have to holler. There are lights and sights and awful frights in flesh pin tights. For the dead of night comes a woman in white, so you're quite all right in the haunted house. When the old church clock strikes 12, there's a knock with a sudden shock. You remember the lock on the door, there's a crock. Oh, why do you mock at the haunted house? It's as black as pitch and your eyeballs twitch in the darkest niche. It's a dirty witch and the lighting switch is out of reach in the haunted house.
Mel Torme and news on CBS Next.
The house is haunted by the echo of your last goodbye. The house is haunted by the memories that refuse to die. I can't get away from a vision that brings intimate glimpses of intimate things. A voice in my heart like a torch singer sings. I wonder who's kissing her now. The house is haunted by the echo of your favorite song. The place is cluttered up with memories that have lived too long, much too long. The ceiling is white, but the shadows are black. The ghost in my heart says she'll never come back. The house is haunted by the echo of your last goodbye.
Music of the Stars. Take a quick break on CBS. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm your host, Lou Regani, and you, best audience in town, because you get it. We're on the air till high noon. High noon.
I'll never forget you. I'll never forget you. The house is haunted by the echo of your last goodbye.
Stand by for news. In the meantime, first time I ever played any by Little Richard. And the last.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM. W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump said he will cut U.S. aid to Colombia. He called Colombia's president an illegal drug dealer. Colombia's president said that a fisherman was murdered in a U.S. strike on a boat last month. 29 people have been killed on these strikes on boats in the Caribbean that the White House says target drug traffickers. House Speaker Mike Johnson said these strikes are the right thing to do.
You take out one boat full of fentanyl, you save hundreds of thousands of American lives. It was the leading cause of death for Americans age 18 to 49 during the Biden administration. We are fixing that.
He was on ABC's This Week, where he said he will not bring back the House until Democrats vote to reopen the government. It's day 19 of the shutdown. The Gaza ceasefire tested as Israel struck targets after saying troops were attacked by Hamas, which denies any connection to clashes. And thieves broke into the Louvre in Paris and stole priceless jewelry. There's now a manhunt for the three or four thieves. This is ABC News.